it all of it? Okay. So, page 1153, Corinthians chapter 12. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all prophet apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
I just want to take you all in. You all look really warm. Is it just that you've adjusted to the temperature? I'm sure that's what happens. You're like polar bears. You can cope with the cold now. In fact, when the heaters are all fixed, you're going to be, oh, no, seriously, can't cope with that. Sorry, messed that up. I really did mess that up. Sorry. Right. So, in this week of prayer for Christian unity, I'd like to look at what that really means. And it seems, well, I did think, first of all, to go with Psalm 133. You know, how great and pleasant it is when your brothers and sisters dwell in unity, all that. But it wasn't right. It was right. Obviously, the scripture's right, but that wasn't what God wanted me to speak on. So it was clear that 1 Corinthians 12 was the way to go. So here we go. I want to start off telling you about St. Michael's Church, this place where you are. Some of you may not know some of the history, so I'm going to give you a potted one right now. St. Michael's has a reputation in the Diocese of St. David's, and in fact around Wales and beyond, for being charismatic and evangelical. Charismatic means things of the Spirit, and evangelical is true to the Word of God. A reputation which was established back in the 1980s, before many of you were even born. Actually, I'm looking around, there's a few who weren't even born. I was. Yeah. It was then, the then rector of St. Mike's, Bertie Lewis, the venerable Bertie Lewis, who had an experience of the Holy Spirit which changed not only the man personally, but his outlook on ministry, his understanding of who God is and the way that this church believed. There were many who left during these early days of the charismatic renewal, which was spreading across the Anglican Church here in Wales and further afield. But they didn't like, they didn't like the mess that happened when, if you remember last week, when the windows of the church were opened to the wind of the Holy Spirit, to the life-giving breath of God. For more on this, please listen to my last week's evening sermon, where I warned about the danger of closing the windows when God is on the move. What was experienced by those who stayed was renewal. Their numbers were few to start with, but God, by his spirit, began to draw new people into the church. Those who were hungry to know God in a way that mere preaching of the word couldn't do. It was the doing of the word, the living out of our faith and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which was bringing growth in numbers and spiritual maturity here in St. Michael's. And it was into this atmosphere that I and many others were born again and came to know Jesus for ourselves. Then when Bertie was promoted and moved to the cathedral, Stuart Bell came in his stead, spirit-filled and passionate for the word of God and with a strong evangelistic gifting. It was through his ministry here over 25 plus years that the church grew to approximately 400 and then shrank a little, or quite a bit, before Moniz came and continued the charismatic and evangelical leading of those faithful to the move of the Holy Spirit and lovers of God's word. The reason why I'm giving you this potted history is because the identity of this church, though it has been tossed about in the storms of disagreement and sometimes frustration over the years, it has remained a place of grace. A church where whatever differences we have, we've sought to honour each other in our diversity. A move, I'm sure, that will continue under the guidance of Mark and Kai and Liz across the whole of the LMA. Unity, it could be said, is this: that we complement each other with our differences. And so, as we look at 1 Corinthians 12, we ask the Lord to emphasize those things on which we agree and to highlight to each one what your gifts are and how they fit together to build up his church, his body, his beloved. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that this morning that you would release your word through me into our hearts. That this tradition, this reputation that this church has would increase. We've seen numbers reduce, but we ask now for an increase of your presence by your Holy Spirit, an increase of the love of your word, that this place may be a place filled with your glory and seen by those outside of the church to be a place where we meet with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we come to the text. It's important to note that at the very outset that Paul was here writing to Christians in Corinth who would have been delivered from pagan cults. They would have been used to having spiritual experiences of dubious sources and familiar with works of evil spirits, though they may not have realized that they were evil at the time. His instructions to them were therefore corrective and affirming, for they needed to know what it was that they once worshipped and for them to be set free to focus on the work of the Holy Spirit of the one true God. He didn't want them to be misinformed, and we don't either. We don't want to be misinformed. In our day, pagan gods and idols still exist in the form of money, sexual identity and diversity, the search for significance, drug and alcohol misuse, and the symptoms that come with all of these in greater or lesser degree, and, of course, other ways as well. Whatever other spirits, divinities or demons that the Corinthians had previously encountered, and we also may have encountered, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is committed to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. So that rings through the ages, from Paul's time right down to ours. It's only by the Spirit of God that we are able to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. This was and is our core statement of faith. Jesus is Lord. We've already sung this morning, his name is power. He is Lord. He is Lord, and the Holy Spirit will always direct us to him. And Paul gives us the right, the true side of the coin, in telling us about the different kinds of gifts, service, working. It is the same God who is at work in us and through us for the common good, for the building up of the body, for the building up of us. The Holy Spirit, when he comes and dwells in us, is like this. I'm going to use an analogy which some of you might enjoy. It's a parable, if you like. It's of making a cake. So you decide that you're going to make a cake. In the coming week, your cupboards are devoid of all of the ingredients that you need, so you go out shopping to buy the necessary ingredients. Butter, marge, flour, raising agents, sugar, eggs, milk, and some icing sugar. And maybe some food colouring to make it all look pretty when you've finished. And you go home. Do you leave the ingredients in the car? Or maybe you put some in the shed. Or you leave some on the doorstep. You could bring them in later. The eggs you're going to use for a scrambled egg in the morning for your breakfast, you bring them in and you put them on the counter. Is that what you do? Probably not. No. You take them all into the house and you store them away until you need them. Then you take them out and bring them all together in the right order and bake the mix. Let it cool and you beautify it with the topping. Now stay with me. You may be wondering, where on earth am I going with this analogy? But do you know that Jesus' disciples didn't always understand what he was saying either? In Matthew 11, verse 25, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord and heaven of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." So think of yourselves as little children this morning. Let's unpack this contemporary parable. I'm speaking, of course, of the Holy Spirit and his gifts. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you as a believer, when he makes his home in you, does he leave some of his parts outside of the door when you open your heart to invite him in? Does he decide that the gift of hearing what the Father's saying, or the ability to pray for the sick and see their condition improve or even disappear, is a part of him that you don't need? You can make a cake without eggs. I can hear Claire going, I guess so. You might be able to, but it wouldn't be a fluffy Victoria sponge, would it? It wouldn't be what you were hoping it would be. What I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit brings everything in with him. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, and the Holy Spirit brings them all in with him. Why would he leave any outside? It would be a part of him that he was leaving outside. When we bring all of the ingredients together in the bowl, mix them up and bake them, we get a lovely fluffy cake if we've measured it right and the temperature's okay and all of those things. I never get it right, by the way. But some of the gifts, so don't ask me for a cake, go to Hannah Bunting. Some of the gifts may not be your primary gifting. But as a part of the body, all of the parts are there to make up the whole. And as an individual believer and follower of Jesus, you have within you a deposit of all of the spiritual gifts. They are all in your cupboard, awaiting the time when you need them or when the Holy Spirit brings them to the fore, just as he determines. Can I give a first-hand example of this from my own life? I'm just going to warm my hands. That's what the hot mug's for. Did you want to warm your hands? Anything you want to do? Jump up and down, star jumps, turn around? I've tried that before and nobody did it, so just stay cold. It's okay. Some of you will know Liberty and Malcolm Harris. Liberty spoke here at St. Mike's about a year ago about prison ministry. They were my house group leaders back in the day. I was a very new believer, and we had a discussion one night about being filled in the Holy Spirit, and they asked if I had been, and I didn't really know. So they invited me to come on a particular day, and they would pray for me to be filled with the Spirit and to speak in tongues. I was so scared. What were they going to do to me? But in line with how Paul prayed for the disciples in Ephesus, this is Acts 19, 4 to 6. Paul said, "John's baptism was for those who were turning from their sins, and he taught you to believe in and follow the one who was coming after him, Jesus, the Anointed One. When they understood this, they were baptized into the authority of Jesus, the Anointed One. And when Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested, and they immediately spoke in tongues and prophesied." I think they probably read that to me before praying for me, which put me a little bit more on edge, I think. But I sat on a chair, and they laid hands on me, and they prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't feel anything, except perhaps disappointment, because I'd wanted to feel something. And on that day, I didn't speak in tongues and prophesy either. It was many months later that our eldest daughter, Naomi, was ill. I won't go into the details, but what the doctor had prescribed for her hadn't worked, and she was still in a lot of pain. And I was holding her in my arms and rocking her, and I was weeping because there was nothing that I could do. And I didn't even know how to pray. And then I found myself praying in tongues over her. This language that I didn't know, understand, never really heard before. Utterances too deep for me to know were coming out of my mouth. And I prayed over her, and she quieted, and she slept a while. And when she awoke, everything was back to normal. She was completely well. When Daddy came home to find a well child, no doubt he was oblivious to what had happened during the day. In fact, this is probably the first time that he's heard it. So sorry, Dill. He's going to get a lot of that in the coming years, isn't he? The Holy Spirit had come in and brought with him gifts that I didn't know I had until there was a need. And the gifts came to the fore as he had determined. In this case, the gift of speaking in a heavenly language known only to God, which the Holy Spirit will give interpretation of if there is a need. The gift of healing and the gift of prophecy. And from that day, my faith and my trust in the Lord began to grow as I exercised these gifts that had been released out of my cupboard. These gifts weren't just for me, though, but for the common good. As I said last Sunday evening, when in preparation for preaching, I'm calling on the Holy Spirit to inspire me. I want to hear from Father's heart for what I'm to say, in line with others who preach from Father's heart. Now, you may not be functioning or operating in the full gamut of the spiritual gifts that God has imparted to you by the Holy Spirit. But if you have been baptized in the Spirit, they are there in your store cupboard. Isn't that good news? When needed, you can call on them, and the Holy Spirit will enable you in whatever the gifts are. Will you all prophesy? Will you all work miracles? Do you all operate in the gift of healing? Do you all speak in other languages that they don't know? The answer to all of these is probably no. But we are to desire to, hard to say that, we are to desire to do so. Verse 31 says, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts." In chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul goes on to teach on the proper use of spiritual gifts, which is another sermon. Today we're looking at the use of spiritual gifts as our part in the body of Christ. The gifts that I operate in freely are not necessarily going to be the same as for you. And what Sian operates in, where is she? She's not there today. Okay, I was going to say Sian. I've written Sian. Okay, I'll say Ian. What he operates in is not going to be what Jill operates in. We're not all a hand, or a foot, or an eye, or an ear. Look odd if we were, wouldn't it? Just a foot sitting there, and an ear. I always laughed at that bit of scripture because I see it in my mind. How ridiculous. If we were all the same, we would not be members of a body. We are all essential to the working of the body. Oh, Sian is there. I see you now. Hi. We are all essential to the working of the body, to its optimum in this world. The reason why God makes us one body with all of these gifts is so that we work to the utmost in the world, to the utmost of our ability. And so ask the Lord, what are your gifts? He's placed them in you already. They're stored up there for when they may be needed within the church and outside of the building for others who don't yet know Jesus, but also for us here as a body, as a wonderful family, as a community of believers. It's for our building up. Remember me with Malcolm and Liberty. I found that actually there was nothing to fear, and it was later that I was released into operating freely in the gifts planted in me by the Holy Spirit. The ingredients are all there, ready to be brought together for the church to be all that God desires for it to be in the world that he created and loves. We use them together in unity for the common good. So to close, I'm going to ask you to do something. It's not a lot of action. It's okay. All I'm asking is that you would put your hand on your heart, if you will, and pray with me for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you and release in you the freedom to operate in the gifts that he brings by his presence in your life for the common good of his church and the community in which we live. So I'm going to pray that. I've told you what I'm going to pray. Now I'm going to pray it. Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you come and fill us all, each one? Will you release in us the freedom that we need to operate in the gifts that you bring by your presence, Lord, in our lives? Would you give us the boldness and the courage that goes with the authority that you've given us, so that we can work by your Spirit for the common good of this church and for the community in which we live? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want